Good afternoon, and Nepal is on fire thanks to poverty. Now, welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Today's discussion is about the
Look, I don't condone that particular entry, but you know, it was riveting stuff. Good artistic expression.
Look, I've been following the whole thing from the beginning of what's going on in, you know, what's going on in Nepal.
Yeah.
And for those of you that can't find Nepal on the map, all you just have to do is
Google Maps.
Just look for there are two interesting fun facts, I don't want to say weird, about the country of Nepal that I know. One, according to their calendar, I think we are in, is it in 2078? There is a different one, the same way that the Ethiopians are.
Mm.
And their flag is one that's shaped like in a rectangular form.
Isn't it triangular?
Yeah, triangular. All flags see mostly, rectangular. They come, if
our
it came
flag
then.
Is pretty rectangular. You know?
They came then, we're like, now we'll come up with something different.
Yeah, we have to be unique for no reason.
The cost of living has impacted negatively a lot of people, especially those ones on the lower economic spectrum worldwide. And some countries have it bad, factoring in a lot of socioeconomic issues that is, no country is immune from.
Yeah.
And what happened basically in Nepal is, I think, one of those things where a lot of corruption allegations is coming out of is basically being thrown pretty much everywhere. Now, to try and solve that, the government thought it would be a brilliant idea. Just when the Gen Zs are complaining, to shut down social media. Bad idea. So Gen Zs were like, "Well, do we get to lose?
We are bored. Now we will just throw around police cars."
So they went, I think it was about yesterday or a day or two ago, they set the whole parliament on fire.
I always want to ask, who is that very clever government official that believes,
like,
disconnecting the internet is like the least thing that people will be unhappy about? It's the smallest thing on the range of things. People can take bad health services, sure. People can take an absent police service, sure. People can probably even take smugglers running all kinds of things through your country.
Yeah.
Sure. But switching off the internet.
Yep. Like all social media platforms, Meta, Instagram, they all went offline. And the Gen Zs were like, "Oh no, you did not."
And it wasn't the millennials. It wasn't my bracket of people.
It's Gen Z dominated. Yeah. That's why they're calling it a Gen Z protest. And no, it's bad. And it's actually, now most of this is coming from, and by the way, the shutting down of social media is not, it's being called by a lot of people that are, a lot of individuals that are sort of like analyzing the whole thing as the final straw of what actually pushed people to the breaking point.
Mm.
I was like, hang on a second. Unemployment didn't do it.
Didn't push them to that.
Wi-Fi did. Then you have, I'm telling you, whatever you do, moral of the story, whatever you do,
don't
leave the internet alone.
Don't switch off the internet.
Yeah, so things went pretty bad. I think one thing about, this is something that I don't understand about, every government have failed to learn from the history of protest.
Mm.
Sending the military out does not help. First, they send the police in, and the police were being undermined. They send the army in, and they started bringing, live ammunition. And a bunch of people were shot dead, unfortunately. But that just fuels the anger.
We witnessed
the same thing with Kenya last year.
Exactly.
You bring in guns, people are just going to get more angry.
No, but Kenya also this year, because it was Kenya last year and Kenya this year.
And throw in Mozambique in there.
Yeah.
With their elections.
Yeah. And Mozambique's thing there, that was misinformation. Purposeful misinformation.
Purposeful misinformation.
By the opposition political leader.
You bring in guns in a protest, bad idea.
I mean, all he had to do was just let the police investigate why his lead legal counsel guy.
Mm-hmm.
How many lawyers are there, Almut, that you need to cry about one lawyer? I know, the guy, the guy had one, he had a life. Sure, I'm sorry. But there must, lawyers are just lawyers are like, you know, like, who else, which profession can I also,
okay,
you know, can I also,
that's not fair,
a slap in the face like that. Lawyers are like, I'm with help, man. Who? Lawyers are like teachers. I'm sorry, teachers. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
I'm really. But lawyers are like teachers.
On the bright side, in 10 days, you guys will get paid. Okay.
Yeah.
Teachers.
You know, there will be someone to take the position.
Is possible?
No, not really. I don't want to beat up, you know, at the gate today. But yeah, the unfortunate thing is, lawyers and teachers, so many of them get trained.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a journalist, which has a personality. A lawyer is not supposed to have a personality, neither a teacher. But you know what? You do get people with good personalities in them. Don't worry, guys. I'm just setting the particular scene here because what happened in Mozambique was technically not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
That opposition party leader was supposed to be locked up, even though he was former Frelimo himself. He was supposed to be locked up. And what he literally caused was great, but it's obviously most based upon what Mozambique has in their laws.
Yeah.
If they don't prosecute him because he ran away to guess where, was it Europe? Or did he run away to Europe or was it America?
I'm not sure where he ran to.
Because he, it was...
When, I remember properly, the one I know properly, you know, because he was very terrible at running away was their former finance minister.
Oh, the one that ran to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
After, you know, being part of the 2 billion game.
Yeah, like, did he know that Mozambique and South Africa are neighbors?
Have extradition orders with
exactly.
Like, treaties with each other.
Like, for an economist, he should have known. I mean, he was a pretty smart guy. Now, at this point, that's the dumbest decision ever.
They will always learn.
I know. Now, that very dramatic intro of me starting from East Asia or which part of Asia, don't punch me in the face, is because the main reason behind the, the protest that was seen by, you know, by a lot of those of us that like to, you know, to watch what's trending worldwide in terms of geopolitics, is that, it all started with corruption allegations, and one thing that was pointed out, and which also got me cracking, is that not only are high-profile individuals being alleged to be living in lavish lifestyles, while the an ordinary Nepalese, what's their denonym?
Nepalese.
He's suffering in poverty.
Yeah.
And what I found interesting is that that's the same, you know, that's somewhat the same complaint, more of like the same. Type of rhetoric, if I can use that word, that we had coming out of Kenyan protests.
Mm. And the Kenyan one was based upon, they wanted to bring in a new tax.
New tax.
Or they wanted to increase tax.
Yeah, but both protests have one thing in common. You have people that have this assumption, or it's based in, it's rooted in facts, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
That, The leadership is living in a somewhat stylish, flamboyant lifestyle because of financial mismanagement, state financial mismanagement.
No, politicians are not living there.
Now, I know, right? Now, what makes the Nepali situation worse is that the kids of the said politicians, under all those accusations or reality, I don't know, their social media is flooded by the said lavish lifestyle.
What, partying in Beijing?
Exactly.
Flying to Tokyo for shopping spree.
Fancy designer handbags, designer clothes, designer everything. And things did not go well. Now, the bottom line is, all this is, all the protests that I'm trying to make, to draw comparison in here between, and don't worry, we don't have a protest.
No, yeah, we're not talking about a protest, guys.
No, we don't, yeah.
And that's why we bring out
protests. Yeah, we're not organizing one. They're only 20 days before I get paid, so I don't have time for that. The thing is, these two protests, the one that took place, that we saw in Kenya, and the one that, actually, protests around the world, because there was one in Indonesia, there was one in, Sri Lanka and all this. One thing that you see is that, there is this, they're all fueled by what? Cost of living.
Mm.
So, how do you then solve the disparation of the cost of living? How do you alleviate, the cost of living crisis before it gets to the tipping point where you have parliaments on fire?
Or where does the cost of living pressures come from?
Yeah, and how do you counter it now?
Yeah.
These are some of the questions that actually I would want to know if I was in leadership position, before my people get to the point where they want to kick me out of power.
Where they want to serve you cake.
Exactly.
Like Marie Antoinette.
Wait, was that in, serve you cake. And was that in, Sri Lanka? No, it was Bangladesh.
Yeah,
Bangladesh where, Sri Lanka, that's when the people went to swim in the presidential swimming pool.
Yeah, where the whole family was in government. And all the friends were opposition party members.
Seriously? Those guys are not... Now, in Sri Lanka, they went swimming in a presidential swimming pool. In Bangladesh, they went to eat the prime minister's chicken. Now, that's my favorite part. Now, they just stormed the palace, man. Like look, protests are awesome. Look, for those of you that
and think politics... there's always a guy taking selfies. Look at me. I know. Food.
If you think politics is boring. Oh, no, it's not. It's not. So, for countries like Namibia, on the other hand, I think, for me now, when I look at all these things that's taking place in all these countries to try and draw, compare and drawing contrast with what's happening in Namibia, what you see is that, from as early as 2004, 2005, one of those initiatives that we have been discussing was the income grant. Now, I don't want to. Now, I just learned today that well, turns out there are different types of income grants: the universal and what's this?
Conditional.
Conditional, yeah.
Yeah, but the conditional one is what the government has been using. But remember what the conditionality of it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's either you are part of the vulnerable and orphan children's bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be a very small
age group. Comes in.
So up into a certain age. You are either part of this. It's either the disability conditional grant, which is a conditional grant. You need to be disabled. You need to prove disability. And the last one is obviously, there's also the veterans particular grant, but we won't consider that because we are speaking about people that ultimately have specific, clear, they need to be assisted in some manner.
Yeah.
Yes, there might be a few Namibians coming in through, veterans need their grants. I understand. Don't worry. But you can look at a veteran grant as a pension grant. Because there's also criteria that you've got to meet, making it conditional. So that means it's minority groupings in the Namibian demographic ultimately that have certain particular negative characteristics, or you should be at an advanced age, which is a characteristic itself, in order to qualify for this. You can't be 34, able-bodied with, you finished high school and all that, and you're now applying for a veterans grant. You can't be 34, able-bodied, healthy, you finished grade 12, you went to university, and you're trying to apply now for a disability grant. Because you need to prove the disability. And trying to go and, explore and understand how you fit into into a autism spectrum, I don't think Namibia is at such an advanced level where we are clearly classifying people that suffer from autism as being disabled as well in the Namibian context, because that's also a different discussion. The person can be clearly functioning in front of you, Helmut, but then you don't know that the person has some certain particular elements, in their personality or in their learning capabilities of new skills and stuff like that. So, which shows you very clearly, it's very small population groups in our broader population. Now, when you use the term living standards, meaning living standards either or we say cost of living. When you use the term cost of living, it immediately signals a negative scenario. It is very difficult, Helmut, to achieve a Denmark or even an Iceland, which just has 330,000 citizens on that island. It is very difficult to reach a Denmark. It is very difficult to reach even a Japan level. It is very difficult even to become, who's the other country that has wonderful, a New Zealand even. It is very difficult, Helmut, even to become who else is there? Or even to do a fraction of what Russia tries to do with its with its conditional grants. Mm. Remember the example I gave you of the Russian parliamentary standing committee that visited last year here at the Ministry of Gender and Child Women and Children's Women and Children Child Welfare, and you know that ministry with that verbosity name or verbose name. When they visited there, the chair lady, the chairwoman, from the Russian delegation asked, how does Namibia help or assist orphans, people with disability and the likes like that? And the deputy minister at the time, she's no longer, I think, the deputy minister. She indicated those things that I explained at the start. And she also mentioned specifically things like for veterans of Namibia's National Defense Forces, that is being conducted by, you know, the Ministry of Defense. The lady from the Russian delegation then said through the translator of the Russian embassy that for orphans, you know, when they become 19, they get a cash injection, Helmut, and they get a free place to live.
Free place?
A free place to live. A flat. They get a flat. Not a backyard unit in someone's yard.
Oh, hang on a second. Yeah, I think I remember
that. Remember that story that I kept telling you? She said, yeah. The lady literally said in Russia, they give a free flat to orphans when they reach 18 or 19.
I remember bringing this up again when you said that, they continue to, at least they keep in touch with them in all ways possible, when they're over 18.
Yeah. That's an interesting way. To keep track how far, what do they do, what are they doing with their lives? Because do you know what they also do, Helmut? Which has been the scenario of, for example, like the one report on cost of living that was done by the IPPR last year. And then I got into a debate there in the hall while the presentation was happening, because I tried explaining to the one guy, wasn't that same particular discussion. Sorry. It was the other scenario on the affordability of internet services in Namibia. And this one guy kept hammering on, the Aware packages by MTC are the cheapest, you know, data packages you can find in Namibia. And I had to explain to the guy, because I've got a marketing background, that's a bundled product. A bundled product doesn't show you the basic rate. It just shows you a bundled rate. So Helmut, if you know you are sitting with, let's say you've got t-shirts, jackets and shoes, and you realize that the shoes cost $500 by themselves, the jackets cost, $700 by themselves, and the t-shirts are $300 by themselves, and you realize you're selling more t-shirts than jackets and shoes. So what will you try to do? You will then try to be, you know, you will then start playing with marketing gimmicks in terms of being creative and saying, hey, let's give a bundled product of $1,000. If you take this bundled product that has a shoe, a jacket, and a t-shirt in it.
So it's one of those, bulk.
Exactly.
Oh.
But if you ask people, go and look at the true cost of a mechanism. Let's say the true cost of IT or the true cost of data or the true cost of connectivity in Namibia. No one can come and tell you about the true cost of things which are very obvious, mind you. If you walk into a shop, Helmut, and I ask you how much does a can of Coke cost, you will tell me how much a can of Coke costs.
Yeah.
That is the basics in contracts of purchase and sale. The seller needs to tell you how much the item costs, and you should be able to take control of the item, meaning to accept delivery after you meet a condition of paying the money. That's the basis of a market. Now, we step into this realm of obviously what is our subject for today. Is the basic income grant still a feasible, you know, venture? Mm-hmm. Obviously it's the incorrect word to use, venture, but it is an ideal to alleviate a cost of living in Namibia. I didn't get this document myself because I tried researching it, Helmut, when I wrote the article. The article is not in today's e-paper. I was hoping, you know, the other colleagues would have included it into today's e-paper, but obviously now it'll be in Friday's e-paper, hopefully. It depends on our editors associated to the e-paper. So when you ask that good question in terms of what is a conditional grant, a conditional grant, Helmut, means that the demographic of your population should have met a condition. So if it's old age, you should have surpassed 59. Not you reach 59 and it starts working. No, you should have surpassed 59, your 59th year, to qualify. Then you go and apply, you go to Social Security, you go to, what's that ministry's name? There's another ministry, the Home Affairs, and then Ministry of Finance. Because Ministry of Finance is now in charge of these things.
Yeah.
Meaning one of the speakers that you had to listen to, the executive director of finance, Mr. Hamuvindu, he indicated,
doctor.
Yeah, no, it's in journalistic terms, Hamut, we don't use the doctor label. Like the other guy, the
who
other,
I spend a lot of time in school.
The other economist, Harman, he also has a double-barreled, title, Reverend Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
A reverend doctor. So he's religious on the one side, and obviously he's a, you know, he's
accomplished
academic. Yeah. So when you look at those particular aspects, now, Harman just explained in this engagement, this public dialogue, what is the difference between a UBIG and a CBIG?
Conditional and universal.
And universal, yeah. And a CBIG is what the government is already doing, but it's for like 300,000 people of our population.
Yeah.
Remember the last time you and I looked at the population census and then we did the calculation where I cited, but this is like 300,000 people. The vast majority of Namibians are literally between 59 and was it 17? No, 59 and yeah, 50, yeah.
Isn't it from 15?
Yeah, but like somewhere from like 15 or 9.
Yeah.
The vast majority of Namibians and up to 59 years. So 9 or 15 up to 59 years. That's where the vast majority of Namibians are based. So we need to really understand in terms of positioning your population size next to a universal basic income grant, which obviously the Basic Income Grant Coalition had been calling for a long time. And it's just one of the reasons why we've also got this discussion going again for today.
Now, I think it goes without stating that basic income grant, whether it's a universal one or conditional one, it's helping the, you know, it's helping the recipient in more ways than one.
Yeah.
But then you know, I really like that from the beginning. I think it was Mark Herman that pointed out that they say
Dirk Harman.
Yeah. Dirk Harman, yeah. Michael is the you know what's the you know what's the other name I'm forgetting? The executive director.
Hamuvindu.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Michael Hamuvindu is the one that I'm you know taking straight to Mark. Sorry. Now here's the thing. First, you know, one thing that Dirk Harman pointed out was, you know, I like how, you know, how he started from the common, more like, I don't know, I don't want to say unverified information on, it's not a statistics based analysis of if you give, if you give money to a homeless person, they're most likely going to spend it on drugs. Now, I don't know how true that is. I don't know if that happens, but it's a very common, you know, it's something that you hear very often.
It's a common accusation.
The interesting thing is, what I find at least interesting is that, you mostly hear that from people that are not homeless.
And already have a job.
And
already have a house and a car. They live in the nice part of the town. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's like, that would have been a terrible example. Mostly very crane unfriendly. But, the point is, I'm saying it's not, I'm yet to come across statistics that shows that, this is the statistics that was done on this number of homeless people that were given this amount of money per month for this time period.
Yeah.
And then the analysis found was that this and most of them are going to spend that money on drugs. But, I don't know, on drugs or alcohol, but, here's the thing.
Both. The accusations was both.
Now, drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Actually, now, when it comes to things or initiatives like basic income grant or universal income grant or any type of incentives that's directed towards these people, I don't think that's that should be a reason why they should be why someone should not come up or a government should not come up with that initiative, because even people that have houses, they smoke and drink.
Even people that have high positions in power. Well, you know, there's a guy known as Epstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, thank you for coming. Now, one thing that, during the Red Line case, one of my favorite scene from the videos that were live streamed all throughout that trial was one of a breathalyzer example just towards the end that pissed off one of the advocates. Long story.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Time. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. This is Eagle FM.
Oh, continue with your example.
Oh, yeah. Now, my interesting example is that a good professor who was under cross-examination, just the way towards the end of the show, of the show, because it was a show to me, was asked, why are you angry at the fence? The fence is just a property. It's a thing. It's not a person.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out, the good professor took things personal, and then he said he decided to use a breathalyzer as example. It's like, yes, I know the fence is a thing. You know, just, like a breathalyzer is also a thing. Which, which can also be challenged in the same way that the fence here is being challenged.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, a lot of people did not get the joke in that whole response.
Mm.
The advocate that asked the question has been, have faced prior legal challenges of being accused of driving drunk. And then he was tested with the authorities, and then he was found to be, with a breathalyzer, and he was found positive. And, then he challenged the evidence based on breathalyzer and then ended up winning.
Mm.
But that whole story is not my favorite part. My favorite part is how the advocate responded in the middle of an example that was given by the good professor that, I will never forgive you for this. I was like, hey, professor. I was like, advocate, are we taking things personal? That's one of my most viral TikTok videos. Now, anyway.
Yeah, but today we're going to get beaten up.
I'm going to have to start hiding.
This is only the 10th of September. We're going to be beaten up today. Don't worry.
Look, well, all this is in public domain. It's on YouTube, like that Fisher documentary.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, the thing is, when it comes to, when it comes to spending money on things that can be seen as irrelevant if you're not the person spending the money.
Yeah.
Because, someone that's buying alcohol, if you don't drink alcohol, you may look at that as a waste of money. But for them, well, that's a good thing. Now, I'm not here to advocate for any of the income grant beneficiaries to start using this money to intoxicate themselves.
Mm.
Because, this is supposed to be sort of like a help them, you know, make ends meet. But, I'm just not for the assumption that, it's based on assumption. For the most part, it's based on assumption that if you give homeless people money, they're going to spend it on drugs.
Yeah. Or they're going to spend it on alcohol.
Like all of them? No.
Really?
All of them.
And after you and I did, when we went through the report.
Yeah.
Remember the report to Omitara?
Oh, yeah, the report of the
National Congress.
And how the grant changed,
where they literally got first-hand testimonies from people on the ground that told them, this thing worked, it changed our lives, our children went to school, we could eat, we could do business with each other.
Yeah. The business part.
Yeah.
We could do business with each other.
The education part. Because currently right now, Helmut, if you look at everything around the education sector in Namibia, like the two teachers that you and I, the unemployed teachers.
Yeah.
Which has been stated multiple times by the Ministry of Education itself. But you guys studied for the lower, what?
It's a lower primary.
Or primary school phase qualification to be teachers to operate in the primary school. You guys don't want to deal.
So now that phase is more like a...
Oh, in oversupply.
Flooded, yeah, it's flooded with qualifications. Yeah. While the phase is higher, the phase above that is still in short supply.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to languages.
And the teachers that are needed in the high school scene, they are getting older, they're retiring, but none of you guys want to deal with someone else's teenage children, because the teenage children definitely will have rampant hormones everywhere during the whole year. No, you want to deal with the cuddly, beautiful kids that are still, you know, trying to understand whose brain cells are still attaching to each other to form a brain. You want to deal with those small humans. You don't want to deal with the pubescent humans who are exploring now what a character is. Well, unfortunate thing was, the ministry outlined that particular scenario very well. Obviously, many developments happened at the start of this month. But the scenario has always been, I've never understood this, Hamoud. Don't the universities that give these teaching qualifications, are they not being told, stop producing?
I think the dilemma there is, it's a whole faculty that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, now we'll have to do what? Like, retrain them into something else?
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest dilemma that these institutions are dealing with. One easy example to use would be the aviation industry. Every time that aviation giant like Airbus and Boeing, add some features to a plane that they want to put out for commercial use, they will have to retrain someone. Exactly.
Yeah, they have to go talk to the MITs or the engineering outlets. These guys need the skills to work here.
Yeah. There have been an update, and now for anyone that's buying this model, they will have to retrain their pilot into dealing with this new model.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of airline companies actually don't like. That's why Boeing decided to go with that, device that they decided to put outside, which is, I think, works on software. The one that crashed Lion of was Malaysia and and the Ethiopian airline.
The one that changes the angle of attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, they decided to incorporate that software in because they did not want to Boeing 383 Mark something.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, that was just one of those many ways of cutting costs. because it, you know, it costs a lot to retrain. I think that, and this is not based on any analysis. This is just thinking out loud. I think, you know, the cost of retraining those lectures and basically rebranding the, you know, more like rebranding all these faculties into something else would be, you know, it's one of those costs that can, that any businessman or any person that's running an institution would be contemplate on. Now, because, well, you have a lot of students that are applying for these courses on a yearly basis. Mm. Also, let's face it, that's a lot of money you don't want to lose.
Definitely.
But at the end of the day, it's creating a lot of problems. You know, it's creating a, you know, yeah, it's creating a lot of problems for the, it's creating a lot of problems now for the, okay, for those that would like to offer employment. Because, well, I want to give you a job, but you studied the wrong phase.
Or you've got a skill set,
yeah,
but it's not complete with what I'm busy introducing here, because I'm busy researching and developing things, which is developing skills on its own,
yeah,
remember,
yeah,
the R&D part. And I have to bring out something new, but you are like 5 years behind in the skill set,
yeah,
that you currently own. Helmut, it's the same thing that BMW South Africa did to the VTCs in South Africa. They told the South African, what, which ministry was it last year? You have to retrain all the people in the BMW factory because you are 5 years, 7 years behind with a new technology that we wish to roll out in South Africa.
So you have to retrain everyone. And all
those people have to be brought back up to standard.
So in other words, you will have to bring, you will have to bring in experts.
Or you will have to retrain everything at the VTCs.
Yeah.
To be up to standard. So meaning the future skills coming out are on par. But the guys that are currently in the factory,
mm-hmm,
BMW trained them.
Yeah.
And then they went and said, listen, if these guys go to the other factory manufacturers, the other manufacturers in South Africa,
yeah,
just so that you know, the people we want should be
possess this type, this level of skills.
Yeah, they should already just be, they should be prepared to just walk in. We don't want to send them on a detachment somewhere to Germany. Please go watch these videos. Please go and do this training. Please go and look at how this line works. They should already be on par. They should be already up to standard at this level. So now you work with a scenario also in terms of, now you see how the research and development process also works when it comes to manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, your skill sets, like currently right now, most of the vocational training centers are geared or positioned only towards mining, which is a self-defeating mechanism, Helmut.
Now I know why the Dutch disease is so dangerous, because if the resources runs out, not only do you not have the people, so you have people that are more like, you know, one-sided in terms of skills.
Yeah.
So that's basically the whole population, you know, the whole qualified or skilled
people
population.
Are just sitting in one part.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One thing goes wrong. Talk about putting all your eggs in one basket.
And Namibia keeps doing this with many sectors. We keep, for example, Amun, I keep telling people every time on our show, I don't understand what has now become the significance of mentioning to me diamond sales are down. If the work that Namra does far outperforms diamond sales that Namdeb has to do. I'll put it like that to you again, Helmut.
Mm-hmm.
Namra collects more money from more sectors,
mm-hmm,
than us selling 5 stones. If the significance, mm-hmm, of the sale of 5 stones, you know, was so severe, was so impactful, was so, how can I call it? It was so economically forward changing. I know you're rubbing that your face like that former manager I once had, who, when he was annoyed by what I was saying, sometimes he would take off his specs and then he would do a quick wipe. I don't want to mention his name because I have a sneaky suspicion he might be listening to us. And he would,
no kidding,
rub his face like, but it's like, you know, this annoyance going like,
no, and then
he looks at me and like goes like, what are you saying, Dwight?
But it's the diamond thing I find annoying, but go on.
Yeah. The downside has been, Helmut, I am to my limits. I don't understand why every finance minister comes and tells us, I know they have to act like a, top-notch bookkeeper, auditor, accounting person. They have to come and report every cent, every Namibian dollar, ne? But there comes a time where useless information is really useless. There are now artificial diamonds. Namibia has to move away from this dependency on the diamond trade.
Botswana is feeling that pinch.
Botswana, yeah, we have an example right next
to them. They had to restructure their entire economic projections this year.
How much do you know that for something like 2 months, they the standing committees that came in under the new president, what's his name?
Duma Boko.
Yeah. They have been cutting into every ministry. You know, these standing committee engagements that the our parliamentarians have been doing, eh?
Yeah.
Now imagine that you ramping up the heat on every ministry, every agency of the government.
Ish.
Who has to report what are you doing with your money that you get from the Ministry of Finance. Every agency, because somehow, I don't know, because I don't follow the Botswanan parliamentarian YouTube channel there. But for some reason, it popped up on my feed. And I just decided was it Monday morning or Tuesday morning while in preparation to listen, you know, what's actually going on here. Ad break, guys, before we continue.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. The time is 16 minutes past the hour of 5. So, how are you?
Yeah. So, grilling. So the level of grilling that was taking place on that, when I watched that live broadcast of the Botswana, that one Botswanan standing committee of the police, their version of the Inspector General and the correctional services, hierarchy. I felt sorry for those officials because those guys were told, where do you think the money comes from? What do you think you are doing with the money? Why did you need to go on these trips and go there and go? These guys were grilled. I thought the South Africans were bad. These guys were grilled.
Savage.
On both sides, Helmut. Back and front, you know, when you flip a steak on a braai, on a braai grill, back and front grilling like that. So the downside has been, it seems in the first half, and I didn't catch on back then. That was like 3 months back. I didn't catch on why were the Botswanan, MPs so, you know, so harsh in terms of the interrogation towards the government officials. Just to understand, down the line, a month after that, Botswana is seeing decreased earnings from diamond sales.
Because it's diamond sales contribute significantly. I think it's one of their major contributors.
Yeah, to the income. But in Namibia's scenario, Namara is doing a pretty good job. Namara, it seems every year, every time when our finance ministers, previous finance minister Shimi and new finance minister Shafuda, every time they show up, they are just using the adjective record receipts that Namara keeps announced, that Namara keeps, you know, collecting. Good stuff. That seems Namara is doing a job that the previous Inland Revenue Department did not do. That department that's in Ministry of Finance. That was the department that Namra was created from.
Huh.
Yeah, it was a plan that I think under Schlettwein or under...
Shimi?
No. Shimi just sort of like oversaw the thing happened, but it was started under Schlettwein and under former Prime Minister Kugengelwa Amadila. They were the two, you know, finance ministers that started that process that motivated the creation of Namra. So as to break it away from Inland Revenue, the Department of Inland or the Directorate of Inland Revenue, because the government officials that were working in Inland Revenue had the opportunity to apply to work in Namra. Many people thought, oh, you know, there would be massive job cuts and stuff like that. But your work is now going to be duplicated somewhere in Namra. And obviously, you know, that particular exercise was something that was planned. So now we're seeing, receipts increasing in terms of collection by Namra. So Namra's efforts are obviously paying dividends in terms of it's a positive, it's a boon for Namibia, which is also coupled now with the Ministry of Home Affairs' Visa on Arrival digital platform.
Yeah, the e-visa.
Which is creating a ton of money.
Uh-huh.
A ton of money.
I'm applying for a job there.
A ton of money, Hamoud. 100 million in 3 months. I don't even want to know what it is by now, September. Maybe I should go and ask.
I
should ask them to give us an update statement in terms of, you know, what has been the amount of people landing and the amount of money they've made so far. I think they knew it. Executive director probably would not be as proactive as the former executive director that was very quick to jump to a press statement.
Oh yeah, you know, just
that guy was very quick to jump to a press statement. But yeah,
very microphone friendly. But look,
well, no, but at least he understood the essence in terms of. Quick public response.
Yeah.
If there's one journalist here coming through with one singular question, the next day you get a press statement from that journalist's question.
Now you're just reminding me of, one president that held a press conference to show the world that his wife was not cheating. No, that's East Africa. You can look it up. Have a good time.
Oh.
Now,
so it wasn't West Africa. It wasn't our buddy from is it Equatorial Guinea or Cameroon?
No, that's wait. No, I think I think that's East Africa.
Okay.
Yeah, we are going to take a small break, and then on the other side we continue with the basic income grant and what basically the whole, if you give someone money, you shouldn't help someone just because you are assuming they are going to spend it on drugs and alcohol. And now if you ask me, the thing is, that excuse doesn't really fly with me as a reason why you shouldn't help someone, because I ran into a bunch of, how many homeless people have cars and they're driving around during the weekend running over traffic lights? I'm yet to run into one.
Zero.
It's people with houses and jobs that are doing that. So drugs and so the abuse of drugs and alcohol is a universal problem.
Mm.
It's not just an isolated thing, you know, it's not something that is associated with homeless people. So that to me doesn't count as an excuse for not. Or more like as a valid reason for not helping, for not rolling out initiatives like the basic or conditional income grant. But before continue, a short break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to...
Welcome back to Home Run on Eagle FM with Hampton and Dwight. And we continue, but before we do, let's take a live read. This is ShopRite live read. Get to you save today where every penny counts. Pay only $139.99 for selected Lavis premium disposable nappies, and $6.99 for 8 Nina sanitary pads, $19.99 for 200 milliliter clay body lotion, 1 kilogram bag sunlight 5-in-1 washing powder cost only $34.99 at USave, and a large tin right brand dog food for just $26.99. USave, we all save at USave. We continue.
So you're still saying
the assumptions.
Yeah, the assumptions. Yeah. So you and I, Helmut, we've already obviously done the exercise of, you know, also proving to our listeners in terms of the evidence that comes through from a report. At the same particular public dialogue, obviously the economist Harman had to go and speak to the same community as well. He took documentary photos and spoke to, you know, impacted persons, like a single parent there that she was in school at the time. She was a young lady who's, she's now a business operator. She could open like a little bakery, small business situation there in Omitara. Mm-hmm. Then there was obviously the husband and wife who became traders. They bought stock and sold and traded with each other. And then when the basic income grant pilot project ended, the whole reason why they could start this particular aspect of, or this particular business venture off, was because the people they were selling to were also beneficiaries.
Yeah.
And they were,
so,
and they
money also, circulation.
And they themselves were also beneficiaries. So when they received the money, what they did was specifically they started buying stock and started selling to people. So they went and bought, you know, like retail products in a town, not far from Omitara, come back and then they resell. They were able to buy themselves a fridge, you know, stuff like that, you know, from this activity. So it starts some aspect of entrepreneurial endeavor. Hence the reason why I told you, Helmut, it is a difficult exercise to become a Denmark. It is a difficult exercise to become an Iceland or even a South Korea or even, what's the other country's name that I mentioned? Is it Japan? Or even just bringing in something like Alaska, you know, tying a resource to like an annual payment every year. I mean, Helmut, what would you do? Let's, for example, say the oil and gas flows a little bit earlier than 2034.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, it flows a little bit earlier than 2034. Let's say it starts flowing. They start pumping by 2027, 2 years from now. And the Namibian government says through the sovereign wealth fund, the Welwitschia sovereign wealth fund, yeah, every Namibian above a certain age is now going to get an annual cash grant. Every Namibian between certain age groups from, let's say from 19 to 100, every Namibian is eligible to get a cash grant every November. It's like your 13th check. Every November, each Namibian is going to get like a $7,000, just like that, non-taxable, you know, tax-free in your bank account. Because obviously they will have to, you know, work with the banks, the commercial banks.
Yeah.
And those that don't have bank accounts need to go to the closest, NAMPOST agency or some, you know, I'm just spitballing things here.
Yeah.
What do you think will happen if we all got a 7,000 above a, from 18 and upwards? We all got $7,000 just like that.
Yeah. The brilliant thing is, that system, you know, that system, is, It's a two birds with one stone.
Yeah, it's two birds with one
because
stone.
Because the first one is of course the financial aspect of it, but the fact that I think the way that it's done in Australia, not Australia, Alaska, is that you have to prove that you don't have criminal record or you have not gotten to the wrong side of the authorities.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Now, I will stay away from fights. Like my life depends on it. Well, basically my life depends on it. That's how much I will stay away from fights, because not only do I not want to get beaten up, I also don't want, just because of your stubbornness, for me to lose my end of the year. Those are my Christmas plans you are talking about. So I'm not ruining them for a simple fight. So two birds with one stone. One, financial. Two, safety and security. Problem solved.
Yeah, but then it becomes conditional. Remember. If you put a condition like that on Namibians, now you've got a bunch of the Namibian population sitting in the correctional services.
Uh-huh.
Now you're excluding those guys from getting the, and they are listening to us, Hamoud. Remember, we've got listeners.
I figured that out back in 2023.
In the correctional service.
Homies have been listening.
So if we now say that the guys in correctional services, meaning the inmates, incarcerated population there, through a technicality, which technically they can then also say, you know what, they're not going to participate in any political party's political campaigning for the next presidential.
Because they're pushed on the side.
Because they are literally pushed to the side because of a government technicality.
Mm-hmm.
You are literally going to sit with, once again, division taking place.
So, man.
You're literally going to sit with, because the moment you bring in a condition,
mm-hmm.
that's why I said, only from 18 years and up.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. 30 minutes past the hour of 5, or 30 minutes to the hour of 6. Welcome to the English time reading methods. Why they came up with that, we have no idea, but we're still with Home Run, your drive time show, with Helmut and Dwight here on Eagle FM. We're here until the hour of 6, and today's discussion is basic income grant conditional.
Is it still a case for it?
Yeah, is it still a case? Yeah. Is it something that we should continue, or should we throw in the towel?
Yeah.
Now, speaking of continue or throwing the towel, I think this is for the next 30 minutes. It's now we take it to the direction of the feasibility, like how feasible it, can we pull it off? Now, we're not looking at simple promises. We're looking at our financial status. Now, I think that's where Mr. Hamovindu now came, that's what he was trying to point out. That's where he brought up our debt to GDP ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the time that this initiative was put in place to where we are today, we're at what, about 20 something debt to GDP ratio. Now we're at 60 something. Way above the SADC.
He said it was in 2008, 2009, it was 30 something percent debt to GDP ratio.
So it doubled.
And it doubled by 2018 or 2023? Something like that. It was at 60 something percent of the debt to GDP. Now, to define that for any ordinary person.
I almost say debt to LGBTQ ratio.
To define that for any ordinary person right now, you have to understand that's the activity that Namra is doing.
Yeah.
So, It is how much money can Namra collect from the value of Namibia's economy. The Namibia's economy, the value of Namibia's economy, if you go Google search that, they will show you GDP. Meaning how much Namibia produces and how much Namibia is exporting.
Mm-hmm.
That is GDP, gross domestic product. So Namra is collecting based upon the GDP. So any plans, remember the two ladies that kept asking Minister, former Minister Shimi last year about, you know, what is happening with GBV initiatives from the Ministry of Gender.
Gender equality.
Yeah. That is the budgetary planning that each ministry has to bring in based upon what Namra is collecting. So what Namra is collecting allows, so first you go pay your debts as a country. So now you first need to pay IMF, World Bank, EU, because we've got like two or three EU loans, I think. The one was maturing back in last year. There's another scenario. What was the other scenario? There's someone else that we also owe money. But anyway, that's like an automatic thing. You know, that's not a train smash, in terms of looking at who Namibia owes money to. If the debt ratio, Helmut, was like the United States, where you literally had more than 100% that you had borrowed, your debt is more than 100%. Obviously it would have been, you know, all panic stations running wild, going crazy. Where are you getting the extra cash from?
Yeah.
Because in the American context, they can print money. Namibia cannot print money. Namibia cannot print money. No. Otherwise, you will sit with a Great Depression scenario in Southwest Africa, in the Southwest African corner of the world. There are only four countries that can print money. It's only the US, it's only the UK, it's only Japan, and it's only the EU bloc.
Okay, what I'm hearing is only US, only US, only US, only US.
Yeah.
Only US, yeah.
Where the US dollar is lovely, just running wild.
Mm-hmm.
Only they can print money. Like print money for, they don't even need a reason to print money. They just print the money.
Yeah. Come on. They have to come up with a fake one. Then.
Yeah, you know, because print. The reason doesn't make sense if you logically go and think about it.
Sense is not part
that's
of
why,
it.
That's why you don't hear the South African Central Bank or the Namibian Central Bank, either one of them trying to use, what's that phrase? When you try to use money, printing money, quantitative easing. Namibia doesn't use quantitative easing. Because Namibia doesn't print money to bring it into circulation. To try and make money affordable or try to make prices affordable or try to bring down interest rates. Namibia doesn't use quantitative easing. We go and play with a interest rate. Because we have to go see, okay, what is South Africa going to do? Okay, we need to be about 0.25% higher than South Africa or lower than South Africa. That's what Namibia does. Because we're pegged. Namibia doesn't print money. Even if we were pegged, even if we weren't pegged, we won't be able to print money. Because our currency is not one of the large currencies.
Again, now, you know, on the printing money thing, one question. Doesn't China print theirs?
China does, but China's money is not an internationally tradable currency. So
the Russians also print theirs, right?
The Russians also print this, yeah, but obviously,
because I'm sitting here thinking, if the Russians didn't print their own money, boy, they would be screwed.
But if you now had to do business, let's say you could start a business now with in Russia,
yeah,
and you are importing something from Namibia to Russia, or you're exporting something from Namibia to Russia, the Russians will tell you directly, Hamut, convert to US dollar. And nothing electronic.
Mm-hmm.
It must be, what's that other trade mechanism? It's like a bond note. It's like this A4 page, you know, but it's something so big. It's like a letter of,
promissory of some sort.
No, promissory note is you promising I will pay you at a certain date.
Uh-huh.
It's a letters of mark. It's one of the old formats of promising payment, but letters of mark is literally like as good as the money itself.
So that's to make your life easy and make sure you don't run around with a stack of cash.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's also one of the reasons why the Russians are selling more oil and gas.
Yeah.
And, because basically, let's face it, because Russia is also in OPEC.
Yeah.
So the reason why the, this was one of the accusations, the OPEC guys are being accused by the NATO and European and American countries and governments.
To be a cartel.
No, yeah, okay, that's a CNN, CNN BBC term.
Yeah, the lingo, yeah.
Yeah, that they use. The cartel behavior that they are calling it comes through from the notion that it's, that apparently the Saudis, the Qataris are bringing down the production limit to shoot up the price of per barrel. In favor of Russia.
So in other words, bottlenecking the supply to increase the demand, therefore also the price.
Yeah. But in favor of Russia, because Russia was the world's largest oil producer.
Yeah.
Russia is the world's largest producer in everything, Helmut. To copper, to zinc, to diamonds, to gold, to uranium, to rare earth minerals, to
grain. How is that part of Europe that rich in natural resources?
Grain.
Most of them.
Oil. To gas. To... What's the other thing that they are the largest product produce?
Throw uranium in there.
I threw uranium. They stockpiled uranium, Helmut, for the next, I think, 100 years. Then they sell uranium to the Americans even.
Yeah. Uranium and titanium to this day, I think they're still selling, especially for...
Titanium.
Yeah.
Titanium. Aluminium. Steel, iron ore. Russia is the biggest at anything that you find exportable on the market, ne?
Mm-hmm.
That you find exportable on the world. Russia is the biggest in everything. The only thing Russia is not the biggest at is the same thing that Namibia suffers from. Refined, processed products. They are doing the same thing that we Africans are doing. Mm-hmm. Hence the reason always why we Africans and the Russians, we have some sort of a, I don't want to call it anything sexual, but it's like a weird attraction to each other because we do the exact same thing in global economics. We sell raw minerals just like that. It's just that the Russians have developed their own refining processes for their own stuff. And we Africans just are completely blind to that.
No, we're not actually blind.
No, we are, Helmut. It was such a good thing. Remember when you and I spoke about the mobile phone?
You and Soft, I was going to go with damn. Look, we have a lot of developmental plans.
Yeah.
But, we are, well, shitting everything away. If you look at, major infrastructure developments that are taking place on the continent, they are all based on export of raw products, which is a bad idea. If you want to develop, you want to process everything near you.
Yeah.
Because that processing, that's how employment is created.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
So, which is why I like to say, I find it very funny every time an African politician steps at the podium and starts saying, we will create employment. And then you look at at how much raw material is leaving the continent and you go like, how exactly are you planning on pulling that off?
Mm. If you are sending all of this out.
Yeah.
How?
That's why everyone wants to be in a public office somewhere. For a job.
Yeah.
Like, really? No. One of my favorite article I ever found on the internet, which is why I like geopolitics, is that this is from the European Commission.
Mm.
Yeah, the EU. This article was put out on the 17th of June 2025. Starts with the EU will gradually and effectively stop the import of Russian gas and oil by the end of 2027. I was like, hang on a second, y'all are still buying.
That's why Jayashankar is still throwing them with those bricks of saying, but you guys are the biggest client.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, because of the pressure of India to stop. Geopolitics is just a lot of garbage.
And hence the reason why Namibia is the special project, this like a special experimental baby for green hydrogen.
Nepo baby.
That's a good term. Thanks for bringing it to technically, because Namibia is sort of like now being fast tracked to produce green hydrogen so that the European economy can buy it reliably from an EU-friendly nation. That, and if you look at the economics, the internet, the geopolitics at play based on international resource management,
mm-hmm.
the EU is trying to find a way of cutting off all dependent-based trade from Russia.
You see, this is one thing I don't understand about politics, and actually why it's being, politics is more associated with, with a lack of rational thinking.
Yeah.
Because if you look at, you really hate your neighbor that bad, you are willing to buy stuff that you need, that your neighbor has, like literally thousands of kilometers.
Oh, and the Russians are producing green hydrogen already. Remember, Hamoud, when I was...
Can I just make up?
Do you know that when I was there last year in Russia, in Sochi, at the particular Atom Expo, I saw a car running on hydrogen.
Now, again,
car is silent, smooth.
Begs my question. Why not just make up and then you get it closer?
Because obviously now,
Politics.
No, Namibia. What are you going to do with Namibia? It's like the fun.
Good for us.
It's like the fun thing that David just told us now before we stepped in here into the studio. I think you didn't hear that sentence from him, but he said, when David was at the Green Hydrogen Summit earlier today, there's a whole bunch of Namibian business people, that are like overwhelmingly happy. And then when he asked them, why are you guys happy? No, there's a lot of opportunities. Okay, now what are these opportunities? They can't explain to you what the opportunities are.
Okay.
So how did they hear about this? And what are they going, what is their value proposition, Helmut? On that note, advertising break, guys.
Well, on the bright side, you know there are opportunities.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. The time is 15 minutes past the hour of 5 before to the hour of 6. Before we continue, let's take a live read.
The Velvica University 2026 applications are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences, and the programs on offer are Certificate in Pharmacy Level 5, Certificate in Health Science Foundation Level 5, Certificate for Enrolled Nurse Midwife Accoucheur Level 6, Diploma in Environmental Health Science Level 6, Bachelor of Social Work Honours, Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. Application fee is 230 Namibian dollars. Application deadline ends on the 30th of November 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvica University, where everyone is an achiever.
We continue. So, you have business people that are looking for opportunities in a sector. They don't understand what opportunities yet. Well, on the bright side, they are attending the events. Maybe at some point they're going to have the eureka moment of what opportunities that is it, that they can participate into in that particular sector.
No, man, but don't let me be shaming or throwing shade on Namibian business acumen.
No, you leave that to me. I'll do that on Sunday.
Yeah. At the heart of the situation here is, Helmut, a little help doesn't hurt. You remember when I gave you the example of the Sovereign Wealth Fund, obviously playing an active role in socioeconomic upliftment in the country, right?
Yeah.
And let's say that oil and gas worked just a little bit quicker. Or even let's say this green hydrogen projects, these multiple green hydrogen projects produce so much that Namibia is exporting so much, right? That is generating so much money into our economy. And then the government just goes and puts away a sufficient amount of money, every year that they can build up to as the executive director of Ministry of Finance, that being Mr. Hamuvindu, indicated, let's just be honest, this is about cash transfers. There's nothing wrong with it because those cash transfers would float back into your economy.
Yeah.
And it obviously helps everyone because you also don't want to exclude the haves, meaning the rich people or the well-off people in your economy. You don't want to exclude them. Yeah. Everyone has to participate in this.
So if you're going to call it universal, you have to practice the universality aspect of it.
Yeah, and people have to participate in this nation-building scenario. Obviously, you don't want a South African who's sitting in South Africa, trying to cash in on being a Namibian. The person would obviously have to jump through multiple exercises to prove that they are Namibian in some way or form.
Yeah.
The downside here is a scenario of, do people in government really see the benefit? I've seen the benefit. Because if in our other shows when we did the regional analyses discussion, how much do you think it would cost there to just put up a street sign, a road sign, a sign that says Independence Avenue here and, let's say, Sam Nyoma Drive over there? But you need to put it on a raised piece of pavement or something,
yeah.
A platform basically, so that anyone that, you know, has one or other too many drinks of something and decides to, you know, play, you know, let's charge at street poles, that they can actually see this. Or how much do you think it costs to put up a street light sign? No, a light pole.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I also don't have any, but I know it's a ton of money. And if you try to do it in where I now came from, Ohangwena, where I saw how far the homesteads are from each other, how far they are from Onipa, from Ondangwa, from Oshikango, how much development you have to bring to all these people?
To connect them because of their distance apart.
Not just to connect them, but also to actually provide some further value addition to where they live, Helmut. I mean, Helmut, they're in, the Anglican missionaries, or the Anglican mission at Odibo. That mission over there, which is one of the oldest built structures, like brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
It's that structure, the structure at Nakambale, which was a Finnish mission, and the other, the Onanjokwe hospital. They're like the three like oldest buildings there in that part of the north. And right outside, you have to ask the question of what did the not just the regional council but also the local authority, like the town council or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they, you know, issuing development tenders to say, hey, all you have to do is just build me a pavement. You can leave it as a gravel road. Just build a pavement with a storm drain. Because all those areas, that Odibo area, is one of the floodplain areas. They had to build there's a catchment bank, catchment dam, right behind the mission.
Yeah.
It was the water resource for the whole mission when, what's the guy's name? The English missionary, the guy, when he built the thing, when he built the whole mission. That was his water resource and the underground water, the aquifer water.
Yeah.
So he had two water resources, fresh water resources. Now, are you telling me in a hundred years, no one decided to, you know what, let's build a canal system with a little catchment dam scenario with all these, you know, well refined. Okay. I know obviously the South Africans went and did their stuff, you know, obviously, yes. I know.
Yes, the South Africans.
You know, yeah. But in between, Helmut, in between, some of us learned most how to do bricklaying and work with a shovel, ne? And knew how to mix, you know, knew how to make, what's that word I learned in Africa, in Rehoboth? Daga. How to make daga. You spell it the same as you pronounce daga. But if you hear someone say daga, they're talking about the cement, sand, and stone mixture with water. And if you hear someone say, obviously, daga, obviously, they're talking about the cannabis plant. Obviously, you know. But if you hear
no one even calls it, everything that's illegal has a bunch of nicknames.
Yeah, but if you hear the word daga, the person says daga, they're talking about that water, cement, sand, and stone mixture. that concrete mixture. Are you telling me that those of us that were skilled in the dark arts of mixing cement, sand and water and stone, you can't get a tender from your local authorities in these various places across Namibia outside of Windhoek to just build a pavement with a storm drain? Really? All the engineers that we are training, they can't score a developmental project like that? To put up a street sign helmet, because you know how sad I felt seeing the tour guide stopping every person, every first person. Do you know where this is? Do you know where that is? And it took me back to the places like in the Rivers where if you asked where someone stays, they go like, you know what? I live next to Helmut, you know, tall Helmut with, you know, tall Helmut with the frosty hat. And you're like, who is tall Helmut with the frosty hat? Yeah, he's got a pink house in that street. You get into that street, there's seven pink houses.
The thing about the village is that, because they are very small communities, most of them, almost everyone knows everyone. So now if there are two Helmuts, they give them, more like a identifying marker. They say most likely either a tall one, a short one, or the one with anger issues. They have all those nicknames. Mm. They're not going to say it to your face, obviously, if you have anger issues.
Yeah, because tall Helmut would have now been sort of like the reverse Helmut. Of tall. And if they said little Helmut, it would always be the reverse of tall.
That's another way of starting war.
I know. I'm sorry, man. I just needed to.
Another way of starting World War III.
I couldn't go with Fat Albert, you know, because then it would have, someone out there could have been Albert in Namibia.
Hmm.
And then, you know, I would really be
with anger issues.
I could really be beaten up at the gate.
Yeah.
So, the scenario there would be, you know, obviously, we're citing projects that can help create jobs. But remember, job creation is a limited exercise.
Yeah.
Because if you bring in people a cash grant system or cash transfers or whatever system, which is a conditional, which is an income grant, you bring in an income grant, there are obviously people that will know. Firstly, many people would say there's this wonderful mechanism that improves my life.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a single mother, if you're an old, if you're a person in the pensionable age brackets, if you're a university student and you are struggling, because how many university students would struggle for cab money, for airtime, to get a device? That's right. 7,000 Helmut.
Right. Employees struggle. Forget money.
I know employees struggle, but usually employees...
Definitely talking from experience.
But sometimes the employees obviously also did something, Hamut, that saw to the evaporation of said particular finances.
Yeah, like, you know...
The previous day.
Being lazy to cook, and then you decide to use some of your transport money to buy pizza.
Yeah,
and because...
Or
you
were on a date that was just too heavy on the budget, and then the pizza, the drinks, and the place you were sitting at were just too much.
Oh, I went to one eating establishment last month. It's actually my favorite eating establishment now. It's because the alcohol is more expensive than the food,
so it's telling you don't drink.
If you want a biggest, more like motivator of don't drink and drive, eat but don't drink and drive. Use that establishment's menu. As in, just put up as a sign somewhere, because man, the prices of alcohol.
I like how some of them say no, the beer, because in many cases, some of the particular issues, obviously, like with an income grant, is that, you know, people from the poverty lines in Namibia would go and spend money on beer.
Everyone spends money on beer. Everyone drinks. Beer. Everyone that has a job. Everyone that has a house, a car.
But
people
here's
drink.
The thing, Hamut. Here's the thing. And this is also one of the scenarios in terms of how we are looking at certain foodstuffs.
Yeah.
In Germany, in Czech Republic, in Austria, in Poland, in Belgium, I think with Belgium, but the other countries I mentioned, they've classified beer as a foodstuff. Whether it's non-alcoholic or alcoholic, it's a food stuff. It's classified as a food.
Don't make me move to these countries.
Yeah, you can go. It's classified. It's public information. It's classified as a food. My sister told me when she went there and here, what was it, 2010-ish or 2009-ish, she saw 9-year-olds with, you know, those 400 ml cans of beer. That tall can of beer. Yeah. Sitting on the bus, sitting on the tram.
A kid throwing a tantrum is one thing. Throwing a tantrum with a beer, that's a whole different ballgame.
The public transport mechanism that's there for everyone, you just put in your money or you put in your ticket. These kids were on their way to school. Man sit met a groot blik. Man sit met a blik. So.
Okay, I don't want to be a teacher in this country.
So you have to interrogate Hamoud. It's a list. It's literally social engineering on another level there. And a income, a basic income grant. Or an income grant plays a pivotal role in terms of, firstly, it helps with entrepreneurial endeavor. It helps with consumerism, because in many cases that Omitara pilot project pointed towards, what was the first thing that people were suffering from? Lack of money to buy food.
Yeah, and you and I have alluded to this like a thousand times. We don't have a food insecurity problem. We don't have a food insecurity problem.
We have access
to money. We have a lot of food.
Yeah, we have access to money issues.
Yep, that will give you access to that food that you are looking at in a grocery store.
Yeah.
The one that if you get one without a receipt, you are not going to walk past the door because, well, the security guy, it's his job.
He doesn't trust that you actually bought this.
Uh-huh.
You're getting the shady side eye treatment, which sometimes comes with, hello, komisho.
Mm-hmm. And I like the Namibian English because more like the African English, we start, you know, we're all related really because everyone's, even, you know, taxi driver will be like, yo, my sister, my brother. Like, okay.
Somehow we developed.
I know.
Within 50 seconds, we developed new family.
No, we're relatives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why we even start fighting is beyond me. So, whether it's a universal income grant or a conditional one.
Yeah.
It's the whole idea that if you give someone, you know, someone who is more like financially, who has a disadvantage, some sort of a financial background, if you give them money, they're most likely, you know, their first go-to move is abuse that money.
Mm.
I'm like, misuse the money. Financial mismanagement is something that goes way up. It's the reason why we have a lot of corruption cases going on. Financial mismanagement. You don't have to be homeless to be terrible at financial management.
Oh, and the weird thing is obviously those people were not, what was the term? They weren't the ones in the salaried positions who were accused and incarcerated or are being investigated for, you know, financial mismanagement.
Mm-hmm.
Because you obviously first have to be in a position to be accused of financial mismanagement. It's the ones that you explained, Helmut, very nicely. The ones running over a red robot, you know, over the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones with the salaries.
Yeah, not homeless people.
It's not the homeless
but people. But those are the same people that will be like, don't give money to homeless. I don't trust those.
You know,
they just take drugs.
He or she can't get,
really?
You know, 100 bucks for free. And you know what's the worst part?
Yeah.
That pilot project actually came from a Ministry of Finance initiative, the NAM Tax Commission. I tried finding documentation about the NAM Tax Commission to see what was the ideology that they were obviously trying to achieve, even though Harman explains it to us in the audios.
Yeah.
What was the overall, you know, ideal that they wished to achieve? It is so difficult to get paperwork from pre-2005-ish on, you know, digitally to try and find it. But the nice thing is obviously Harman, you know, sort of like communicated it by saying the ideal was to try and alleviate poverty or to decrease poverty levels drastically in a short time frame by doing the singular most impactful exercise that you can do.
And if you look at cost of living, that's needed.
Yeah. They obviously were trying to start off with was it 70 bucks back then in 2000 and something before the pilot.
Is it 2004, 2005?
Yeah. And then they obviously had to upgrade it to 100 bucks per month. And even then, when we, you and I looked at the report at the start of, in, at the start of this year, the report from that National Council excursion, the National Council guys were given overwhelming evidence
that of this
positives,
works.
Of positives. We didn't even see it, anything on a similar level from a standing committee from the National Assembly. Not even the standing committee was trying to understand this. The standing committee guys are going to mining companies understanding, yeah, what's the ownership scale of things? What's going on here? What's going on over there? The standing committee guys, literally all of them, they first have to answer the question, how do we improve lives of people?
Yeah.
The standing committee guys, for example, like last year when, what was the now Minister of Works, when he was Deputy Minister last year, when he complained in the National Assembly about bank charges. And then I looked at the ceiling going like, go and ask the bank. Why do they have charges? And the first thing that any bank clerk will tell you, Helmut, is they will point you to a wall behind you that will say, there's our chart of how our bank charges
are constructed. You know what, factors into an overall price.
Yeah, what you are paying is explained there. Go and read. And what did they do? Our current Minister of Mines and Energy was on a standing committee of the previous National Assembly, where they first interviewed the governor and his executives from the central bank about private sector players. Why do they have bank charges? They couldn't even define what is a high bank charge. And what is a low bank charge? And we've got both of these men are in our ministers today, Hamid.
Should look into running for office.
Who, me or you?
Both.
No, I'm too honest. I'm the worst person to be a politician.
You're gonna get fired and
not just be fired. They will tell me, Dwight, you will not show up at the rally.
Okay. Please. How about from now moving forward, you just keep quiet.
First, they'll tell me, Dwight, you'll show up with a bicycle and you will make us look bad because we're showing up with Land Cruisers. I said, yeah, because, you know, healthy living and all that.
What do you make of the concern of the pool of revenue where all this is going to be coming from? Because the biggest question is its sustainability.
We will have to do this.
It's sustainable development because you don't want to start it today and then it dies a natural death the next year, like we have seen with some, you know, airlines. What you want is,
that are now trying to be resuscitated.
Being given mouth to mouth resuscitation. So,
for some reason, but we didn't even bury the ghost of the previous version.
It's still there. Yeah. So this is the concern that Mr. Mavindu was trying to point to the sustainability of it.
Yeah.
First of all, we have carried out a trial run.
Yeah.
We see that, it works in terms of benefiting, in terms of helping those financially disadvantaged, more like that are coming from, underprivileged backgrounds financially.
Yeah.
It helps. It works. People were able to start their small businesses. People were able to send their kids to school. People were able to put food on their tables. But now, that is an overwhelming green light that, now this works. Go ahead. Mm. You can, carry on. But, if we are going to implement it on full scale, how do we make sure that I think the main concern is to make sure that we have enough source of revenue to keep it going.
Well, Hamoud, I asked the question. It's one of the audios I didn't share with you in the Q&A session of that public dialogue. I asked the question of how would the Alaska Permanent Fund fit into something like this basic income grant scenario?
Yeah.
You know, trying to tie a natural resource to financing this initiative.
What was the response?
Except for Hamovindu, because Hamovindu didn't respond to that question. Renani Musutwa, who's of the coalition, Harman of the coalition, Harman, who's obviously there's a guest economist, looking at society first kind of economics.
Yeah.
both of them said they love the idea because they've never thought or heard of the Alaska Permanent Fund itself. The Alaska Permanent.
Really?
Yeah. It's a very secretive thing, Helmut, in the sense of that it is too obvious and too good to be true.
Yeah.
The downside is you have to look at how it was brought into play, because Alaska is a sparsely populated state of the United States, and they actually had the one thing that the Americans are afraid of. They actually had politicians that are pro-society,
yeah,
meaning pro the well-being of society.
In other words, socialism.
They were socialists.
Scary more.
These guys are socialists, yeah, basically. And this fund, Helmut, is the only income grant functioning fund in the United States since the 70s.
Oof.
This thing pays out to people, ordinary people, whether you have a job or not. Just make sure you are a resident of the state and that you haven't been charged with any crime, no matter how big or small it is, in the past 12 months. You can get a tax-free check from the Alaskan government.
Annual tax.
Annually. Annually. Now ask yourself, Helmut, what will you do with the last one that, not the one of 2024, the one of 2023, the $3,000, $3,200, which accounts to like 60 something thousand Namibian dollars. Imagine you get a check like that from your government.
Knowing.
Tax free. At the end of a year.
Okay, first of all, government, thank you for sorting out my December. And,
yeah, and it literally pays out every November, that check. They pay out at the end of the year. They pay out every November.
At the end of November?
Yep. Where does the money come from? From all the oil and gas companies, American oil and gas companies operating in Alaska. Those guys have to pay a stipend. Besides their taxes, they pay a stipend of their profits.
I know.
To that fund.
I know people, you know, even if that money was given to every citizen in the country, I know people that will be broke before the 2nd of December and then not have money for Christmas.
And then they're the ones asking, how many months does this month of January
have? Yeah. All right.
At least that money will be spent in Namibia.
Yeah, definitely.
Check it, Helmut. The last payment, the next planned payment in 2025 from the Alaska Permanent Fund will be $1,700.
How much is that in Namibian?
This will be like almost 30-something thousand.
Implement that and there'll be no Tura boys in this country. Everyone will be like, okay, you know what? You can keep your iPhone. I'll just wait for my 30K at the end of the month.
I mean, it's basic stuff. Even international media writing about this.
The question is Australia doesn't have that, right?
And Australia
is loaded with gas. Resources. Yeah.
And some Australians are heartbroken because literally the extraction was given almost for free to the gas companies in Australia. It's like it's like the same concerns that Namibians are complaining about here, but it was like literally to try and, you know, just get companies operating with this resource.
It's a terrible idea.
It's a super terrible
idea.
And there's this think tank that I follow on YouTube, because one of the executives is a former rugby player that I liked.
Mm.
Cause I played the same position as he played, David Pocock. David Pocock, he's now a formal cabinet member in the Australian Parliament. And he is now standing, because he also went to the Rugby World Cup for Australia. He represented Australia at the highest level. He's now a staunch pro-society advocate, meaning he's now someone that says your economy should be geared towards
benefiting the people.
Your people.
Yeah.
Your economy should not be geared towards benefiting a sector. That's what's wrong with America and with the UK.
Definitely.
Not many parts of Europe. Because if you go to Germany and you hear in Germany, people are saying earning a a conditional income grant. There's an income grant that kicked in Germany after COVID.
Yeah.
Like the example I loved showing you, the one about the single mother, the hairdresser.
Yeah. Yeah.
She couldn't find a job for potentially one of the most lucrative trades in the world. Being a hairdresser is one of the most lucrative trades. That lady, if you converted the euro, the tally that she got, was paid every month by the German government about 20,000 Namibian dollars. After she paid everything, after she pays everything, ne? In her bank account, what she has left is 7,000 Namibian dollars.
Disposable income.
Just whatever she does with that money. But okay. Remember, obviously, your food is more expensive in Germany as in Namibia. Your transport is more expensive in Germany as in Namibia, even though she uses public transport. Even though the education for her child, her daughter, is subsidized by the state, and certain things like health is subsidized. Remember that everything is like at advanced levels of affordability versus Namibia.
Yeah.
But even then, if you use the same transmittable train, same system, and you try to bring in just some sort of an income grant to support people post COVID. Because this is the impact of COVID. This even by 2026, we're sitting with the impact of COVID. Even South Africa realized they needed to give people 350 rand a month. Just to realize a super scam was running from their ministry.
A big time.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of Home Run. David's time is up with Business and Economic segment. Well, until tomorrow.
Well, we literally absorbed a healthy amount.
Uh-huh.
But on that note, dear listeners, see you again tomorrow. Stay tuned and we'll be back.